Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Okay, on the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Greg Paul. Clean this place up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll give it a try. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I know that you're not spending money on heating this room behind us. It's cold back there. It's good to be in your company. Let us pray. Lord, we entered this building this morning, some probably before those in the rotunda were making their voices known. Some perhaps walked through and heard them. Help us to be aware of the voices that speak to us, that cry for our attention. Help us to understand what it is they are asking for. We know that these are not the only voices that will be heard today. Members of this body will speak to one another addressing a bill. They will go over to the House and listen to the voice of the governor. Please help us to hear those who ask for our attention. Give us minds that discern what is right and what is wrong for us as a state. The people of this state pray for those who lead them. Give them good hearts and sound minds, and let us be about our work. In your name we begin. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Hahn, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stump, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Uyghur.
Quorum is present. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Betzold.
Yep. Mr. President, I'd move that committee reports other than the ones dealing with appointments be adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator
Mr.
Pogemiller.
President, I'd move that the committee reports dealing with appointments be laid on the table.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business, second reading of Senate bills. There's one printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There's one correction on page 7. Senate file 2566 will be referred to the State and Local Government Operations Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Four re-referrals. Poga Miller, there are four bills to be re-referred. Marty, Rest, and Phoebe, and Olsen. Senator Phoebe, are you? Phoebe, do you have a motion to make?
Mr. President, yes, I move that Senate file number 2331 be withdrawn from the Committee on Education and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay, this is your bill, and okay. On the motion of Senator Phoebe, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. All seen. We may get back to motions. There's a resolution on today's agenda, resolution number 145. Without objection, that resolution will be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Olsen, you have a re-referral motion to make? Remaining under motions.
Mr. President, I would move that Senate File 240 or 2471 be withdrawn from the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection and sent to state and local government.
Okay, this is your bill, and beyond the old scene motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Poga Miller, do you wish to designate under Rule 26, Senate File 2168?
Yes, Mr. President, members, the way I think we'll proceed is I will designate Senator Berglund's GAMC bill. She's going to explain it, and then we will break. Senator Senjum has asked if there will be a half-hour caucus availability. So I think it would be best if she explained it first, and then we'll break for caucus.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, Senator Poga Miller, and I'm just working up my computer right now. Is there a copy of the bill on the amendment on the computer at this point?
I believe so. Senator Berglund?
So apparently very soon. The amendment you're talking about, Senator? I think very soon, apparently. So, Mr. President, I would like to designate under Rule 26, Senate File 2168. Yield to Senator Berglund for the explanation of the bill, and then we will recess for Minority Caucus.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and members, this bill will restore for the next 16 months General Assistance Medical Care Program. General Assistance Medical Care serves the poorest, sickest people in our state. Most of the people in this program only have $203 a month income. And most of them are very sick. Many of them are applying for Social Security disability, and they need to be able to get health care to continue that process. The bill, as it will be amended, will not be relying on any Medicaid surcharge dollars as we had in the bill previously. The bill will have funding from DSH, which otherwise is funds that are lost to us. because general assistance medical care expenditures match that those federal dollars coming into our state. We make a small reduction in those DSH payments and keep more of it than we otherwise would for the state. We have recoveries that are made when people do become eligible for Social Security disability, and those would be going into this special general assistance medical care fund. We have drug rebate money that we get from the drug manufacturers for the drugs that are used in the program, and that would be going into the GAMC fund. We are transferring the savings that will occur to the general fund because we will not need to either transfer funds into Minnesota Care, and because Minnesota Care will be solvent, it will make its contribution to the general fund. We have a six-month extension in the bill of a suspension of hospital rebasing, and that money will go into the General Assistance Medical Care Fund. We have a small amount of money for a small rate reduction to hospitals in the Medicaid program that is in law now that we would continue. There is funding in the general fund bill we passed last year for the administration of the General Assistance Medical Care Program, and we are canceling that appropriation and reappropriating it for the administration of the new program. We have about $60 million left from the appropriation for General Assistance Medical Care last year that has not been vetoed and has not been unallotted, and we're reappropriating that into the new fund. And we have a little over $19 million in cuts to county block grants that would be transferred to the General Assistance Medical Care account. The loss of General Assistance Medical Care will impact the counties greatly. When you have very sick people that no longer are on their medications, they are showing up, being called attention to the police, showing up in hospital emergency rooms and needing to be transferred to other more appropriate hospitals. And there are greater needs on the social services system as well at the county level. And so this is about the amount that the counties agreed that they would be spending if we didn't have a general assistance medical care program. So this amount will be a contribution toward continuing general assistance medical care. We do have some reform in this bill in the area of mental health. A lot of people in the general assistance medical care program do suffer from mental illness, and we have some reform in the bill that will produce some small savings. We have a rapid access to psychiatry program. Many times people are in the hospital longer than they need to be because there is no psychiatric care staff to discharge them to. This will make that happen faster. There are consultations for primary care and other physicians dealing with people with mental illness to be able to have consults with the state-operated staff who have psychiatrists on their staff. And overall, we will have a better mechanism for handling people with mental illness in the bill. We do add two full-time equivalents to the department to help them handle the new GMC program. They have to monitor because we allow the commissioner to further ratably reduce provider payments if there is not enough money in the fund to cover the program in the future. So we're giving them two staff people to take on those extra duties. And there's a small amount for systems costs. Because we are slightly changing eligibility in the program, There no longer will be a hospital-only program for people above the 75th percentile of poverty. We are also eliminating eligibility for people in county jails, in sex offender programs, and people that are hospitalized on a hold release. So there will be some systems money that is needed. The bill has a small savings to the general fund of $3.7 million this biennium and $477 million in the next biennium. I originally had hoped we would have a larger savings to help get us started with our budget deficit, but with the removal of the federal funding that would come because of the Medicaid surcharge, though most of those savings are gone, but there's still small savings here. But we will still have a program for 85,000 people over the next 6 months, many of whom otherwise would not have access to a payment system for their care, and we keep the Healthcare Access Fund solvent as a part of this bill. And that means we will not need to be reducing eligibility drastically for people in the Minnesota Care program. I believe that completes the explanation of the revenues and the expenditures. We will be reducing payments to providers. We keep the pharmaceutical benefit whole because so many of these people rely so heavily on medications. We want to make sure they continue having access to those medications. We cut the outpatient reimbursement by 50%. We cut the inpatient hospital reimbursement in the amendment. We will be cutting it 40% of what they've been getting for hospitals that have 1% or less of general assistance medical care in a year, and 70% reimbursement of what they would have had for hospitals that have more than 1% general assistance medical care. And that split is to kind of try and make it a little more fair, because there are some hospitals, not all in the metro area, some in the rural parts of the state as well, who are much more dramatically affected by the loss of GAMC than other hospitals. And so this was the recommendation of the split that we should make by the hospital association. I have on your desk articles about reinstating the program, and I will have a packet for you of letters of support for the plan we have to reinstate general assistance medical care. Those letters range from hospitals, outpatient mental health programs, ambulance association, churches, doctors, and other organizations that understand how the fabric of our healthcare delivery system and our social services system will unravel if we do not have a general assistance medical care program in the future. So with that, I believe I have explained the bill, and I will maybe wait for questions until after people have had a further chance to caucus on this issue.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. And members, I was listening intently. There's a lot there. I tell you what, there's a lot for this person at least, and I suspect every senator, and I don't care which party you are, to think about on this bill. As far as I know, this was all kind of put together last night, and although the DFL caucus has caucused on it, we have not. Yes, I appreciate the courtesy that is being extended to the effect that we can caucus, but I don't think we're ready. We don't have, as far as I know, Senator Berglund, we have fiscal notes? Do we have any runs in terms of how this affects hospitals? Those are kind of fundamental elements that we'd like to have when we consider complex bills like that. And To that end, I think fair is fair. And as we think about this, we got an April 1st deadline. It just seems to be, Mr. President, that we ought to be able to set this thing aside. We're going to be fine. We're going to get this thing done. But for the here and now, this is very, very difficult to understand and certainly to cast an intelligent vote on. I would suspect all of us want GAMC fixed. We just want to understand what we're doing when we try to fix it. And I'm going to dare say that there's probably only two or three people in this whole state of Minnesota that understand the elements of this amendment. So, Mr. President, I would like to move further consideration of 2168 until the Monday session of this legislature. And, Mr. President, I'd like to call a roll call on that.
There'll be a roll call. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would oppose this motion. This is a topic that's been being discussed for months, and Senator Bergen will have an amendment today that I think even simplifies the bill further. And so I think with adequate time in your caucus to discuss it, I think you'll feel adequately prepared to vote on it today. So I would oppose the motion. Then we'll break, depending on what happens in that motion, my intent would be then to break so that Senator Senjum could have a caucus. Senator Berglund has offered to attend your caucus if that would be useful. Otherwise, you have members of your own who are familiar with the bill. So
we're on the Senjum motion. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, members, I just tried to refresh my computer. We don't even have a copy of the amendment. It's starting to feel an awful lot like May 18th around here. I just don't understand the urgency. At least till Monday. I mean, it seems like that's a common courtesy that we ought to extend to this membership to be able to see this bill, to be able to dissect, to understand it, to have our lead people on the health and on the health policy committee help us through it. And we're not going to have that. We're going to have an explanation, brief as it might be. We're going to come up here and be asked to vote. And I dare say, when you don't understand something, Mr. President, you're going to vote no. That's the only safe vote. We want to make this work, and we got to understand it. And we're not going to be able to do it in the framework that has been set up today to do that. So again, I would urge a positive vote on tabling this until the Monday session of the Senate.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, the amendment is available. Senator Berglund has provided copies to lead people in your caucus, Senator Senjum. I've got a copy of it here, so I don't know if it's on the computer yet. I hope it is. But if it's not, it will be quickly. And it's a very brief amendment. So hopefully, again, I would encourage members, it's important to proceed with these bills that have been being discussed for months on end. Move them forward so that we can get to the business of balancing the state budget, which is the topic of the governor's speech today. So I think it'd be good. The governor supports fixing this. He may not support the details of it yet, but I think moving it through the legislative process would be a good idea at this time. So I would oppose the Senjum motion.
Senator Senjum, is your motion to postpone till Monday?
Mr. President, that's correct. I think that will give us enough time to understand what this bill is all about, to hopefully get some runs and to be able to, frankly, cast an intelligent vote one way or another. But today we're not going to be able to do that, at least on our side.
Okay, the motion will be to postpone till Monday. But Senator Limmer, excuse me, before that, Senator Fischbach was.
Mr. Chair, it is accurate that I just received a copy of the amendment and have not had the opportunity to do any engrossing or try to understand what's in the amendment. And so I think that we do need to delay this. Senator Pogemiller is accurate when he says we have been discussing this issue for months. We have been discussing a completely different bill, and I'd like to be able to have the opportunity to understand what's going on. You know, having some language in an amendment is certainly different than understanding the implications of that language, and we need to make sure that we do things right, and we can't rush through these things. I don't think it is too much to ask to delay this for a couple of days and support the Senja motion so that everybody in the body and the public can understand what's going on with this legislation.
Senator Corey.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I would support Senator Senjum's motion. I've been on this committee since I've been here 7 years, and normally I will say that the committee chair is very good about coming and explaining it to me, but I haven't had anybody explain this to me, and so I am going to stick with my leader, Senator Sinjum, and vote to postpone this till Monday.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, you did say that the amendment was available to key members of our caucus that were knowledgeable about health care and the GMAC formulas. I, on the other hand, am not a member of that committee. I can't get this amendment up on the computer screen. Even if I looked at it, I doubt if I could interpret whether or not it's an appropriate measure for us to vote on without a little more discussion and a little more research, so I could understand and make a valid position on this on behalf of the people in my district. And as many people know, I have a new hospital in our district, which has only been up online for less than 45 days. I don't even know how this will affect that hospital or any other hospital corporation. So I, too, would join Senator Sinjum in his request to give us a couple days so we know what we're voting on.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I think it might be helpful if I offer the amendment. Then it will come up on your computers. It isn't on your computers because I haven't offered it yet. So I will do that, and then we won't vote on the amendment. I can just offer it.
Senator Berglund, at this time it'd be out of order because Senator Sinjum has a motion pending.
I'm sorry.
He withdrew his to listen to it. But
well, at the appropriate time when I can offer an amendment, that's what I'll do.
Okay. We're still on Sinjum's motion to postpone the bill till Monday. Senator Sinjum.
Mr. President, some of us now have at least a paper copy of this amendment, and you know, it's just a whole line of deletions and insertions, and you know, by numbers within the statute, that's frankly impossible for us to. You know, even if it were to come up on the screen, it would simply almost be meaningless until you sit down and go through this line by line. And I would simply urge that you at least that the majority caucus give the minority caucus at least Monday until Monday to understand this and get some idea what this program's all about.
The secretary will take the roll on the Sinjum motion to postpone till Monday.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Move those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Being 24 ayes, 40. Close the roll. Being 24 ayes, 40 nays, the motion does not prevail. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I would move the A-16 amendment.
Secretary will report the Berglund A-16 amendment.
Senator Berglund moves to amend Senate File 2168 as follows. Page 3, delete Section 2, etc. This is the A-16 amendment.
Senator Berglund on the amendment.
So, Mr. President, members, what this does is delete all the sections that dealt with Medicaid surcharge, either for hospitals or HMOs, and deletes all of the appropriations that dealt with that money as well. So there isn't a lot that's changing in the bill except that we're taking that revenue source out of the bill. And the rest of the revenue sources that we had in the bill previously are still in the bill. The only change is a $3.2 million out of $19 million this year in a reduction to the amount hospitals will get for their disproportionate hospital share payment, and next biennium $2.5 million out of a $12 million appropriation less that hospitals will have. And that decision was made just to finally close the gap we had here. And remember that not one hospital gets one dime of this disproportionate share money if we don't have a general assistance medical care program, because we use the program, we use the state appropriation as our match to get the money from the federal government. So a little bit less, it's about a sixth less that the hospitals will have of that funding. But they'll have 5/6 that they wouldn't have had otherwise. That's the major difference in the bill from what we had before it came to the floor with this amendment.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I believe now with the amendment being offered, it will be online. So I would move that the Senate recess to the call of the chair. Senator Senjum tells me about a half hour is what would be good for his group. So let's hopefully be back here by 9:45 or 10 o'clock or so.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, and I would hope the majority leader wouldn't hold us. I mean, this is complicated stuff, far more complicated than I perhaps thought initially. And we may be able to do this in a half hour. I'd have to talk to staff, but you know, if we go through these line by line and try to understand them, you can't do that in half an hour. And I would hope that there would be some flexibility in the notion that it'd be a half an hour, because it could well be an hour or longer, I would think.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, absolutely, Senator Senjum. The only issue is we want to get back here to have some debate on it. If we could get it done before we go to the House for the governor's speech, that would be fine. If we don't get it done before that, we'll just come back after the governor's speech and finish the bill. So, but no, obviously we're flexible and whatever's necessary. So you can use the retiring room if you want, or I don't know what room you're going to. So,
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, in deference to Senator Coring, who reminds us frequently about the retiring room, we'll just go down to 1:12.
Okay, on the Pogermiller motion for a brief for recess. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed.
Aye.
Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I think Senator Berglund. Oh, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I believe Senator Berglund is on her amendment.
Senator Berglund, we're discussing the Berglund A-16 amendment. Senator Berglund.
So, Mr. President, just to refresh our memories, this amendment takes out the surcharge. There was some concern by some members that small rural hospitals would be losing money under the surcharge, and they were not affected as much by GMC. So that's gone. There's no winners, no losers left in the bill. We have been able, during the break, to do a run of just the inpatient portion of what this bill would give to hospitals. Obviously, hospitals also provide outpatient services, but we weren't able to get that complicated for this run. But you can see, you know, you take you can look at a hospital. You know, you can look at the Cloquet Hospital. They would lose nearly $400,000, and under this bill, just for the inpatient portion alone, they'll have $257,000. You can look at the hospital in Bemidji. They would have lost $1.6 million with the loss of GMC, and under this bill, they'll have $1.7 almost in money to cover their GMC population. Now, I just want to take a minute to explain what would happen with auto enrollment into MinnesotaCare, besides the fact that it bankrupts MinnesotaCare. What would happen is this would be done once. The auto enrollment would happen once. So 28,000 people at a given period in time would be auto enrolled. Some of those people would be auto-enrolled for 1 month because they only have 1 month left before their GMC would come up for renewal. Others might be lucky enough to get 5 months of MinnesotaCare before they come up for renewal. But when they come up for renewal, they're not going to be auto-enrolled. They have to go through the process. And MinnesotaCare was not really designed for this very poor, very sick population that has a lot of mental illness going on with the clients. And so this program will allow a hospital that has a patient present themselves in the emergency room that needs hospitalization to use the same process they do today for GMC, which means they get covered that day, the day they present in the hospital. And the same for clinics. They get paid for that day that they show up, whereas MinnesotaCare, the process of enrollment can take 2, 3, 4 months before you have coverage. So, Mr. President, I think our hospitals do better. I know that the people who rely on GMC, nearly 10% of which are veterans, will do better with a temporary GMC program. And with that, Mr. President, I'd be happy to answer questions about the amendment.
We're on the A16 amendment. Further discussion? Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, it might be helpful for Senator Berglund to give us some information. I know she's explained that the surcharge is eliminated, but there's a lot of deletions, and maybe explain to us what's left in the bill. Because there's, I think, some other things that are there. And go through the bill. Since this is not getting a committee hearing, the bill itself did, but we, and maybe explain some of the spreadsheets and what's going on with it. We understand now the auto enrollment issue, but what, give us some idea of what all this paper is really doing.
Senator Berglund.
I didn't mean to omit anything, but I had gone through the spreadsheet earlier, but I'm happy to do it again. If you look under the revenue that would be going into the special revenue fund, there's some revenue going into the general fund to cover the mental health reform. And the mental health reform will give people quicker access to psychiatric services so they can be discharged from a hospital. It will give primary care and other types of practitioners access to psychiatric consultations with our state-operated staff. But in regard to the special revenue fund that's created, we have DSH funds. Those are federal dollars that come to hospitals who have a high proportion of Medicaid and uncompensated care. We have to match those federal dollars, and we have used in the past GMC to match those dollars. So with the restoration of GMC, we will have a DSH program again for hospitals. That money doesn't show up on this sheet I talked about earlier either. Some of the DSH money in the past has been kept by the state to solve past budget deficit problems. Being that that money would not be available now to the state and has been forecasted out of the budget by George Hoffman, this money now would go into this special revenue fund. We have a little bit more coming because we're going to reduce those quarterly payments slightly more than they would have been if we had not had a veto. We have recoveries. When somebody goes on GMC and later on they get covered by Social Security through Medicaid or some other way they get coverage, maybe it was an auto accident and there's an auto claim, then that money goes into the fund to help offset the GMC costs. And today that money would go in the general fund if we had a program. We get drug rebate money from the drug companies for the drugs that are used in the program. Without GMC, we wouldn't have those drug rebates, so that money would go into this special revenue fund. We have money that is forecast to have to go into Minnesota Care if we don't have a GMC program. That money would go into the GAMC special revenue fund. We've made a 6-month delay in hospital rebasing. That amounts to $9 million, and that money would go into the GAMC fund. We've continued a small ratable reduction to hospital Medicaid rates, and that money would go into the GAMC fund. We have money in the general fund now for administration of the program because when the governor vetoed the operating funds, he didn't veto the administrative funds. So we're reappropriating that money into this fund so the department will have that money to operate the new program. We have about $60 million that was appropriated for GAMC last session that is not subject either to unallotment or to the governor's veto, and we're reappropriating that money into the new fund. We have a little over a $19 million cut in block grants to counties, and that money would be appropriated into this special fund. So that explains where the revenue comes from, and most of the expenditures in this bill deal with either funding the mental health reform so that it can operate, or it deals with funding the new GMC temporary program through this special revenue account. And if you look at the bottom of the spreadsheet, you'll see two things. First of all, the Healthcare Access Fund is solvent. And secondly, on line 61, we have a $3.7 million savings to the general fund to help balance the budget. So if anything on this spreadsheet is not clear, I'd be happy to answer any questions about it.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm wondering if Senator Berglund will yield.
She will yield, Senator Ortman.
Thank you. Senator Berglund, is there a fiscal note that's been prepared on the bill as amended?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Ortman, there is a fiscal note on all the components of the bill that are in the bill now, except for this $3.2 million additional withhold of the DISH money. And that's a straight appropriation, so there's no need for a fiscal note on it. The state keeps the money now. We're going to have them keeping $3.2 million more.
Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. President, thank you, Senator Berglund. You are clearly an expert on our health care programs in the state of Minnesota, and I am not. But a fiscal note is needed. If we're expected to vote on this, it's very important for us to know whether the bill balances or not. And just because she says so doesn't mean that it does. And if you assemble 10 fiscal notes, we have no idea what the impacts are and no way to know whether this bill is balanced. And I would ask Senator Cohen if he would yield.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Ortman, I've worked closely with Senator Berglund on the bill.
Mr. President, I haven't asked my question yet. I just asked if he would yield.
Now he's trying to respond. Senator Cohn.
I'd be delighted to yield.
Senator Cohn yields.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. The formalities are important, and I'm reminded of them all the time, so I just want to make sure we're all following the same set of rules here in the chamber. Senator Cohen, thank you for yielding. My question to you as the chair of the Finance Committee is, has there been a fiscal note prepared on this bill as amended so that the Finance Committee could understand exactly what the fiscal impacts are to the state of Minnesota?
Okay, and now Senator Cohn.
Yeah. Mr. President, Senator Ortman, couple things. Obviously, we had extensive information. We had a multi-page fiscal note in the Finance Committee a couple of days ago. With the changes that Senator Berglund proposes, she's prepared another fiscal summary, which is pretty easily understood because she's only making a couple of changes to the bill in terms of sources of revenue. And so it's real easy to take what was done in the Finance Committee and then reflect that in what she would like to do today. Now, obviously, if members want to return the bill to the Finance Committee, they can do so. But I can tell you, having worked with Senator Berglund over the last couple of days on this matter, in fact, that's why I was actually talking to one of the fiscal analysts as you asked me the question. But having worked with her over the last couple of days, I think this is going to be easily understood by people on the Finance Committee, hopefully by people on the floor who are not on the Finance Committee. But if you take a look at her fiscal note that was presented to the Finance Committee, this is basically a parallel of that.
Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. President, again, because folks say so, shouldn't be good enough for the members who sit on the Finance Committee. I understand you all have done a very good job of preparing a bill that you believe has some merit to it, but I think that that's what our committees are for. I don't serve on the Finance Committee, but I do refer and defer to my colleagues on that committee when they do their work, and they have not seen this amendment in that committee. There has not been a fiscal note prepared, so we couldn't possibly know from the agency what its impression is as to whether there's a fiscal impact on this bill or not, Mr. President. And so I would like to make a motion under Rule 7.4 that this amendment is out of order, and it should be ruled out of order by you, Mr. President, because it is an amendment to an omnibus appropriation or tax bill that is a Senate file. It's out of order because it will increase net appropriations from a fund for a fiscal biennium compared to the bill as it was reported to the floor of the Senate without a corresponding increase in net revenue. If there's if there's a net appropriation one way or the other, 7.5 applies in the reverse. So if it's a plus or if it's a minus under 7.4 or 7.5, we can't possibly know that it's zero without a fiscal note. It's going to fit into one of these rules, and this amendment would be out of order at this time, Mr. President. And so I hope that you will rule appropriately that we should not be hearing this amendment this morning. Mr. President.
This is, in my opinion, not an omnibus appropriation bill. This is a single-issue bill. So,
Mr. President, if I might just add, every component on this sheet we have a fiscal note for. So our nonpartisan fiscal staff took all those fiscal notes and made them all add up on this sheet. It's a summary sheet, just as we used a summary sheet in finance so people didn't have to wade through and try and understand a 28-page fiscal note. We can bring the 28-page fiscal note up here for you, Senator, and I can go through every page of it and tell you the parts that are in this bill that we have a fiscal note for. The difference in the bill is we have a smaller savings to the general fund. In the bill that came to the floor, I had $169 million savings to the general fund. In this bill, I have a $3.7 million savings to the general fund. So I am not overspending. I wish we had a little bit bigger help for the general fund here, but the major purpose of this bill was to help the 85,000 people and the providers that deal with them to have a medical care program available to them.
Senator Ortman, I'll refer you to page 7 to 7.3, which talks about the omnibus bills, and this is not an omnibus bill. This is a single-purpose bill. Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. President, I think it's omnibus given its impact, but I defer to your ruling on that. But I can't figure out what the hurry is. If there's a 28-page fiscal note, it could be assembled and shared with the members of this chamber. It should be. But I'm not sure that there's been a fiscal note prepared relating to the new special revenue fund that is created in this bill. And that is of significant concern. It should be of concern not just to Senator Berglund and to me, but to the members of the Finance Committee, every member in this chamber, and the residents at large. That we are trying to pass a bill, I would say shove it down everybody's throat today, without the real opportunity to review it, consider it, have hearings on it, look at fiscal impacts, have the agency look at it, have the agency given the ability to testify about the impacts, and those people that supposedly will benefit from these programs to be able to come to this Capitol and testify about its impacts. So, Mr. President, whether you've ruled my, I understand you've ruled against my motion, but then I would like to move, Mr. President, that we move this bill and refer it back to the Finance Committee for full hearings on all of those impacts. The residents of the state of Minnesota do care about what's in this bill, and they'd like to know, and they should be given a fair opportunity to learn what's in this bill.
I take it that's a motion, Senator Berglund. On
Mr. President, the special revenue fund was in the bill when it was heard in the Finance Committee. We had testimony both during the interim and in several committees of the Finance Committee, including the full Finance Committee, by people who are affected by the bill. So I feel like we have done due diligence. The thing that's been removed is the thing that your members were most vocal about having a problem with, and that was the part of the bill that would create financially winner and loser hospitals. So now there's no loser hospital. There are only winner hospitals in the bill. And so I'm trying to accommodate concerns that people have expressed about the bill, but there is nothing new in the bill that wasn't in the bill when we heard it in the Finance Committee.
We're on the Senator Ortman's motion to refer Senate File 2168 to the Finance Committee. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. With all due respect to Senator Berglund, there are still loser hospitals, if you want to call them that. We have a fabulous hospital in Carver County, the Ridgeview Hospital in Waconia, and they will lose under this bill. But my primary concern and the reason for sending it back to the Finance Committee is there may have been a special revenue fund in both versions of the bill, but the source of funding for that special revenue fund has changed between the time the bill visited the Finance Committee and got its approval to the time that it reached the floor through this amendment today. It was a surcharge. Maybe people like that better. I don't think so. But now we have a different version, and it comes out of an entirely different source of funds that's available to these hospitals. And I think we need to have a fair hearing with testimony from folks like Bob Stevens, the president of Waconia Hospital, who came to testify in committee previously about the impact on his hospital. I'm sure that he would come back. There are others that would like to come back and talk to the Finance Committee, if not the Health and Human Services Committee, about the impact of this bill. Mr. President, I would ask for a roll call vote on my motion to refer this bill back to committee.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, I impose a call to the Senate for the balance of proceedings on this bill.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate's under call.
Mr. President.
Senator Betzel.
I move that further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. You know, I think it's probably appropriate to Senator Betzel or somebody to, at this point, to move to recess. We do have to be at the other chambers to hear the governor at by 11, so if there's a motion, I think would, we're not cutting off debate or anything, but if we have a motion to recess, which is a higher motion, then we could do that work and then come back, if that'd be all right. And I'd like to remind the members that are escorting the governor, Senator Rosen, Sharon, Sieben, Scogin, and Torres Ray, maybe you could. Senator Clark.
Mr. President, I move that we recess until after we are done with our listening to the governor. So recess to the call of the chair.
Okay, that's on that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate.
Under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. We're on a Fishbach motion, Senator Fishbach's motion to re-refer to the committee, the bill to the Committee of Finance. Excuse me, Senator Ortman's motion to re-refer the bill. Senator Ortman, I'm sorry. Sit down.
Mr. President, are we still under call?
Yes, we are. It was for the balance of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Ortman.
Prior to our break for the State of the State address, I made a motion in this chamber asking that the bill with the amendment that's being offered be sent back to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has not had a chance to look at this major amendment, which creates a whole new source of funding for a brand new special revenue fund. These are the very issues that our Finance Committees look at. And then the Finance Committee can also look at the financial impact. They can take testimony from the hospitals that are affected by the folks in Minnesota that have an interest in this issue, as many would. That's what we do around here. We have a committee, we take testimony, we get public input, we consider what we're doing, we look for a fiscal impact, we review a fiscal note. Mr. President, I can't imagine on any occasion, under any circumstances, if I brought a bill to the Senate floor without a fiscal note, that I would get a vote. The circumstances of that are unimaginable. How is it that we are going to vote on a bill today with no fiscal note, the size of this bill that it is, based on an assertion that if you put 28 fiscal notes together, they somehow give some understanding of what the fiscal impacts are of this bill? With all due respect, this bill and this amendment need to go back to the Finance Committee for further consideration, and I hope members in this chamber will support this motion, Mr. President.
Further discussion, Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. President, I rise to oppose the amendment or the motion. And before I, yes.
Senator Berglund.
Before I go very much further into why, I'd just like to correct a statement that Senator Ortman made earlier. The Waconia Hospital gains $373,626 under this bill just for their inpatient care alone. There would be more than that that they would get paid also for their outpatient care. And under the veto, they would lose $879,120. So the Waconia Hospital is not a loser under this bill. In fact, there's no losers under the bill. As I said earlier, the Finance Committee has reviewed every component of this bill. The only thing that has happened is I have removed a controversial funding source, which was giving us a larger savings to our general fund. Now, that's not to say we can't look at that later when we're doing the budget, but for the purposes of this bill, in order to remove the concern that members had, and I know this was a concern that Senator Rosen and Senator Fischbach had expressed during the committee process about some hospitals being winners and some hospitals being losers under a Medicaid surcharge, that has been removed from the bill. So there will be no winners and no losers under the bill. Everybody is a winner because everybody is going to get paid for that emergency case that comes in because of a farm accident or an automobile accident. So the entire, all the components of the bill have been reviewed by the Finance Committee already, and Senator Cohen has told me he does not feel a need for the Finance Committee to review those components again.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. And to Senator Berglund's point, I have no way of knowing. This is the problem. I have no way of knowing whether Waconia Hospital will benefit or be burdened by this bill. Just because you say so and your spreadsheet says so is not sufficient for me. That's why we have committees. That's why we take testimony. And why the president of Waconia Hospital has come down to testify and does have a significant interest in this very amendment that you're asking us to vote on. I want to read for you an email that I got from Mr. Bob Stevens, the president of Waconia Hospital, yesterday morning, 10:39, February 10th, 2010. He's very engaged in this. He says, "This bill does nothing to reform or change the delivery or financing of services to this population. However, I can't let a redistribution of funds happen. This bill redistributes millions from some hospital to the betterment of others. The bill originally had Ridgeview being taxed at over $2 million, with those funds being sent to other hospitals with higher GAMC or Medicaid populations. We have reduced that amount to $600,000. This is as of yesterday. This is where the grant to disadvantaged hospitals amendment came from. This is in the House version, but not in the Senate version. I hope this helps. Senator Berglund, the point is that he has not had any chance to testify or even talk to his legislator, review this legislation in this amendment, and you are asking us to take a vote that will impact these hospitals and our residents that seek care in these hospitals without the testimony that it clearly deserves, the fiscal note that it clearly deserves, that we should all be insisting on, not because you're a Republican or a Democrat, but because you care that Minnesotans have a chance to see what's going to happen and that there is transparency in the work that we do, that they have a chance to advise us about how these bills impact us. It's an outrage that the finance chair doesn't want to have a hearing on a bill that has this big an impact in the state of Minnesota. There is no reason to rush this. I have heard no reason. This bill needs to go back to the Finance Committee if there is any semblance of integrity in this institution that's left.
Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Berglund yield?
She will yield. Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Berglund, you said that there was a fiscal note on each component of this bill. Is that correct?
Senator Berglund.
Yes, Mr. President, Senator Vandeveer, that's correct.
Mr. President, Senator Berglund, do you know the fiscal note then, or do you know the cost of the Medicaid reimbursement rate reduction to 50%?
Mr. President and Senator Vandeveer, there is no Medicaid rate reimbursement cut in the bill.
Senator Vandeveer.
Senator Berglund, you're not reducing the reimbursement rates.
Mr. President and Senator Vandeveer, you asked me about Medicaid. We are reducing the general assistance medical care rates from what they were in the program before the governor vetoed the program.
So, Mr. President, Senator Berglund, is there a fiscal note on the cost of those rate cuts?
Mr. President and Senator Vanderveer, yes, there is.
And where would I find that?
It would be found in the fiscal note, the 28-page fiscal note that was done by the agency for the bill.
And is that included here today for us to look at?
I haven't handed out the 28-page fiscal note, but if you want a copy, I will have my fiscal analyst bring it up here for you.
So is this, Mr. President, Senator Berglund, is this fiscal note on the whole bill or just on the reimbursement reduction?
Mr. President and Senator Vanderveer, the fiscal note was done on the whole bill, and it has each component. So it talks about what the cost of the program will be with the rate reductions in the bill.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Betzel first.
Yeah, Mr. President and members, the fiscal note is available online. If you just click on the bill and you look at, if you call up the bill, it has text status of the bill, and then it does say fiscal notes, and if you click on that link, it brings you right to it. So I can't understand why any members are having any questions about what the fiscal note says. It's available if you've got your laptops.
Senator Ortman on that issue.
Mr. President, just to clarify, I thought we just established there is no fiscal note on the bill as amended or on the amendment that's before us for a vote this afternoon. There is no fiscal note. So please, members, don't try to suggest there is. There is not a fiscal note with all of the changes that are being proposed in this amendment.
Senator Berglund on.
Mr. President and Senator Ortman, yes, there is a fiscal note on the revised bill. It was heard in the House Finance Committee yesterday, and the department has completed the fiscal note on the bill as amended.
Okay, Senator.
They had a small error in it, and in a minute, our fiscal staff will bring a hard copy up here because the agency made an error in their own fiscal note that they had to correct.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Berglund yield?
She will yield, Senator Roebling.
Senator Berglund, the issue of the reimbursement rate, is it not changed from the original bill? It was not further reduced? So the doctors, the medical community who will be most affected by this cut in reimbursement rate have already weighed in, although I didn't hear them during the Finance Committee. I didn't see anyone come forward, and I haven't had an opportunity to talk from people from the medical community. I guess that's one of the things I am concerned about, because if they have to take this big reimbursement cut, will some of them quit seeing patients who are on public assistance? Will it end up like the dentists, where all of a sudden anyone who's getting this service will have very limited options about where they can go for their service? I don't know if that has been fully vetted or not, and that is something that I think should be discussed further, and it could be if it would go back to Finance Committee.
Or Senator Berglund, we're...
Mr. President...
Yeah, the motion is the Senate refer it back to committee, and we're kind of really expanding on this, but...
Mr. President and Senator, there was testimony taken from the physicians in the division. They said they don't support this rate reduction. They don't support the governor's proposal for auto enrollment. And they would like to see us pass a broad-based tax and restore the program with the previous reimbursement in it. You know, as well as I do, that's not a realistic position to take. We're not going to pass a broad-based tax and restore the original program. Most of the providers and many doctors did write letters that have been included in the packet saying, we know these folks are going to be showing up anyway, and we are grateful that the state would pay something for us to take care of them. And so This has been heard in the Finance Division. I don't believe there's any reason to send it back to the Finance Committee to rehear it, that aspect of it.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Ortman, I think you're exactly right. There is a need for a little bit more transparency. Senator Berglund, I was given a handout by a lobbyist on the way into the session today. Lobbyists represent some of the players that would be involved in this type of issue. They said, quick, let's vote for the new version. We made that arrangement about midnight last night. That's their words. Have we had a public hearing on what was discussed somewhere in this building between late last night and this morning affecting some of the amendments that have been going on?
Yeah, we'll try that. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Limmer, we had a hearing about it, and people said they were concerned about it and didn't like it, and so I took it out. That's what happens on the floor of the Senate. We listen to what people have said, and we try and make adjustments, and I have taken out what people didn't like about this bill.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President and Senator Berglund, we could expand this discussion into all the things that go on the Senate floor. The rushing through of bills at a moment's notice. The rewriting of a bill with practically a delete everything amendment without public hearing. We'll just take care of it. Why do we even need public hearings in a committee anymore? Gee, a couple days ago we passed a $1 billion bond bill. Now we're considering this one. And yet, major changes are being introduced to this bill with very little input from the public or from the players that are involved in this industry. I don't understand why there's such a rush. Gee, we're only in about the fifth or sixth day of the entire legislative session this year. So I'm a little concerned why we are moving at this rapid, explosive pace, and yet at the same time, some of the professionals that are going to be affected by what we do today, just like in Senator Ortman's district, he has not even seen the bill. He's trying to catch up to the amendments. He can't even catch up to them, nor can he even give any advice to his elected official. I just don't understand it. Now, Senator Ortman has a fairly modest request. Let's send it back to a finance committee and let's hear from some people. I didn't think we'd ever come to this day in the state of Minnesota where we wouldn't hear from the public. But apparently we must be going in a brand new direction of change.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. I serve on both the Health Policy and the Health Finance Committee. And I can only speculate the number of hours and the meetings that have been held over the past many, many months, and the number of stakeholders, whether or not they were providers or hospitals or counties or the HMOs, the GAMC recipients who came forward during the process of vetting this proposal. And one of the concerns was very specifically on the medical assistance surcharge. That is what the basis of Senator Berglund's amendment seeks to address today. With the medical assistance surcharge, we had the ability, we had the potential to reap some additional federal dollars. Many of us felt that would be a positive thing to do, considering the revenue challenges that we face. After much discussion and input and committee work, it was deemed that we would try this alternative approach that Senator Berglund has presented before you today. And so I'm just stressing to members that maybe aren't on those particular divisions, there's been a tremendous amount of work. One of the first things that I did this morning when I received more detail on the amendment was to contact the Minnesota Hospital Association. The Minnesota Hospital Association represents every hospital in Minnesota. And I contacted them very directly to ask them, knowing that they had been involved in all of these meetings, all of the work during the interim. And I was very pleased, and I'm pleased to report to members today that the Minnesota Hospital Association is supporting the work that's contained in this amendment.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no reassurance at all for me when I hear that the Hospital Association supports this bill. This is what's getting to be wrong about St. Paul politics. It's what's wrong with Washington politics. The Minnesota Hospital Association never had a general membership vote on these issues. And so when I hear today that the Hospital Association is in favor of this, we have a problem because they don't speak for a vote of their members. They speak on behalf of a vote of their executive board, but not their members. And that's why we need to take testimony to hear not just from the lobbyists at the Capitol, who are part of the 12 o'clock midnight meetings, but from the people that will actually have to live with the results of the bill that we pass. The folks that will have to manage those hospitals, provide the care, and implement the statutes that we're providing. We need to have hearings on this. Again, it is an outrage to think that the insiders playing inside ball in St. Paul get to decide all of these issues without any input from the general public.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, and Senator Ortman and Senator Limmer, the reason there is an urgency about this bill is because the Department of Human Services really needs to know what's going to happen with this program by February 28th. I did not hear back from the Commissioner of Human Services about whether the governor would be willing to support a surcharge until Tuesday. So when I heard that he wasn't feeling very good about it, I said, okay, then let's not have that be in the bill. And between now and last Tuesday, we have worked on trying to change the bill. But it wasn't, I mean, I met with the Commissioner of Human Services about this issue and this bill in December. I met with him in January. I met with him earlier in February. And we were not getting any read on how the governor would feel about the surcharge. So I only heard about it Tuesday, so we've moved forward trying to make adjustments as a result of that. So I'm sorry if that's not enough time for you, but we do have an urgency about this bill. We do need to get this bill passed on an emergency basis.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. That last statement is just simply not true. We are not in a hurry. The commissioner took his time to come and visit with our caucus this morning and said that none of the law changes will be effective until April 1. That gives us weeks to work through this issue. There might be notice letters, but no one will have their benefits changed prior to April 1. There is absolutely no urgency in passing this bill, and there is no good excuse for not having a full hearing with the general public participating.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Berglund, maybe if you would respond to a couple of questions. I'm still not clear on why we have to take this up today and pass this today. As Senator Ortman just mentioned, I think all of us understand that there is a problem with JAMC. I think all of us recognize that having the program just disappear entirely is not a great solution. And there was every expectation, I think, on the part of everyone that we would address this. And I think we do need to address it, but I think we should address it in a way that is thoughtful and that does get a full and public hearing about what the alternatives are. I am not sure why we do not want to have this go back to the Finance Committee, take some additional testimony. For example, I would like to know what the commissioner or what the governor's representative, what their feeling is on this bill as it is amended. Has this satisfied the concerns that they raised? I don't know that. Are there other things in the bill that may need to have some further discussion and debate? I don't know that either. I am not persuaded at this point that we need to take this time today and get a vote on this thing when there are these many unanswered questions. And so I guess, Senator Berglund, could you respond and tell us, does the commissioner support the bill as it is amended that we have before us today that we are being asked to vote?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Hahn, he didn't tell me if he supports the bill that we have before us. He said I had about a 90% better chance.
Senator Hahn.
Mr. President, Senator Berglund, thank you. I guess specifically, and you've been describing the bill as being changed only to the extent that the amendment has changed a few provisions that were problematic. But that's my question. Has there been testimony from the department, from the commissioner, on this amendment to say, well, this does solve the problem that we were wrestling with? Does this really move this bill in a direction that we feel is a good way to solve this problem that we feel we have in GMC? Has there been testimony on that issue? Has the governor's office or the commissioner or the department, have they looked at this, the bill, as it is amended today, and said this is something that we support as the way, the direction that we ought to go forward? And has there been testimony to that effect?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Hahn, the department never testified about the bill at any point in any of the hearings that we've had. We've had numerous hearings, and the department never testified.
Mr. President, thank you, Senator Berglund. I think that is a problem. I'm also a little concerned about the fact that we know we've got a budget proposal, a supplementary budget proposal from the governor that is coming, I believe, on Monday. I don't know if he's planning to introduce anything in that proposal that would have any bearing on what we're proposing to do today. It would seem to me to simply be prudent to postpone a vote on this until after we see what the governor's budget proposal has in it with respect to these issues. There may be something significant with respect to this in his proposal. I don't know. I'm unclear why we need to vote on this and do final passage on this today. Why not send this back, as Senator Ortman has argued for, to the Finance Committee, get some further testimony on this, and let's make sure we understand what this amendment is doing, whether or not it really does solve the problems that have been outlined. I know this is controversial. I know that there is some urgency to this. I get that. We do not want to have this, no GAMC program at all. We all recognize we have to do something. I think the debate is whether this is the right thing and what are the alternatives and have they been fully heard and have they been fully vetted and understood. And I think that clearly on our side we think there hasn't been. You're saying your argument is, well, it's not needed. I guess I would argue that we ought to have some further debate on this in committee.
Okay. Senator Cohn.
Mr. President, I've realized the problem with the debate we're having right now, and that is that members of the Tax Committee really want to serve on the Finance Committee. That's the issue. The Finance Committee had an extensive hearing, similar to hearings we have on most other significant bills a couple of days ago. We actually had testimony on the bill. We had testimony from the Hospital Association. We had testimony from the president of a hospital. We had testimony from some users. We had testimony from, I think, Catholic Charities. We actually don't usually have testimony in the full Finance Committee on some of the major bills we have if they've been heard in the division. As indicated by Senator Lynch and Senator Berglund, this bill has been heard ad nauseum in Senator Berglund's division. As to the issues involved, the question is, a single change of a single funding source doesn't change any of the issues that were in front of either the division or the Finance Committee. That's all the same. Members should be clear about that. It doesn't change the apportionment of the money. Doesn't change how this is going to be taking care of the problem that Senator Hahn suggests is a critical one. Senator Berglund, who chairs the division, who understands this issue better than anybody else I would suggest on the floor of the Senate, has relayed to us the concerns as to the calendar, that this is not an issue that we can take care of at the end of the session in some omnibus bill. This is not an issue that we want to get mixed up with the governor's budget and any legislative response to that budget. This is an issue, and the testimony in front of the committee suggested this. Some of the testimony, as I followed it in Senator Berglund's division, has suggested this in much greater detail. We have people who are impacted today. We have people who will be impacted next month. We have people, as my particular doctor, my personal doctor told me, will live or die in the absence of legislation. That's what the urgency is, Senator Ortman. And I don't know about Waconia Hospital. Senator Hanna, I don't know about the testimony of the commissioner. I don't think the commissioner has testified, Senator Berglund, on any of your omnibus bills in the last several years. We normally don't have commissioners who show up to testify on the bills. Sometimes it happens. That's very much the exception to the rule. This is a bill that's gone through the normal legislative process. This is a bill that has been heard thoroughly, vetted thoroughly, going back to the summer months. This is not a bill that is going to be in any way illuminated by another hour and a half, two-hour, three-hour hearing in the Finance Committee. If members of the Tax Committee feel that these omnibus finance bills and other major finance bills are difficult bills to comprehend on the Senate floor, then I suggest that the answer to the problem is a procedural one and a substantive one within the operation of the Senate, and we should go to the Rules Committee, not with this bill, but we should go back to the Rules Committee and restructure the committee assignments so members who are on the Tax Committee get the opportunity to hear these bills.
Senator Hand, then we're getting close to a vote.
Are we? Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Cohen. I do not serve on the Finance Division for the Health Committee, so I clearly am not one that has been privy to the hearings. One of the questions that came up in some of the brief discussion that we had with the department and some of the information that we have and one of the handouts that Senator Berglund has given to us talks about. It's got a comparison of the payment schedule for a list of hospitals, and it talks about it's got two columns, and one of them is describing sort of the current situation, and the other would be the situation if the Berglund bill were to pass. My question is, in describing the current situation, does that take into consideration the movement of people currently on GAMC into Minnesota Care? Has that been factored into this? And the reason I ask that is that some of the information that I've heard, or some of the discussion I've heard, says that if those things are taken into consideration, the size of the problem that we're facing with the GAMC issue is much, much smaller than what the bill is purporting to address. And I'm just wondering if that description of what is going on in current law includes that change that would put the GAMC population, or at least portions of it, into Minnesota Care.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Hahn, the auto enrollment of people on GAMC into Minnesota Care will only serve clients who are in the program today for between 1 to 5 months, depending on where they are within their renewal period to be on GAMC. This program is a program that has people coming into it all the time. Most of the time, people come into it because they have an emergency that has come up, and they know they don't have health coverage, so they haven't taken care of something because they didn't know how they would pay for it. And so every new person that comes along, this bill will take care of all 85,000 of them. The governor's solution will take care of 28,000 of them. And the Minnesota Care program has a cap on inpatient hospitalization that limits the payment to $35,000 with a deductible on top of that. So it's not really possible to compare that to this, but this will make sure every single hospital for every single emergency that comes in that would be taken care of by GAMC gets paid for that individual, and it will take care of all 85,000 that we expect would be coming in. So this proposal's paid for. This proposal is a way for hospitals to plan into the future the other proposal doesn't give them any way to plan for the future, because they don't know for sure what they're going to get. If they're going to get somebody that comes in the door that's never been in GMC, or if they're going to get somebody that was auto-enrolled for 1 month, or if that person was auto-enrolled for 4 months. They don't know. And so this is a much better, more stable solution for planning into the future on behalf of our healthcare providers. And it's a better solution for individuals who are going to need that health care and need that prescription coverage and need that office visit in October, who won't get it under the governor's proposal otherwise.
Senator Sedgum on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Berglund yield?
It's a motion. She will yield. Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, point of order.
Yeah, it's on your motion.
I think right, on the motion, not on the amendment.
I know.
Mr. President and Senator Berglund, to the motion we refer, and I'm going to support that, basically because I think we're all struggling to really understand this bill. But my question, more specifically, Senator Berglund, is counties. My understanding is, or at least was, that counties are going to share in the expense of this solution. Is that correct? And if it is correct, do we have any runs on how this is going to affect individual counties in Minnesota?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Sedgum, in regard to the county cut, we have had several meetings with the counties, and they have agreed that the amount we have in the bill of $19 million is what they calculate their costs would be if the GMC program goes away. They have indicated they do not want a county share to be contributed to the program. They would prefer to take it in cuts to programs that they already have, and that's what we're doing in the bill. In terms of runs as to how that would affect the counties, I've never seen a run done like that, so I don't know, but it's a pretty small cut to the adult mental health grants, and it's a larger cut to the CSSA grant. When we met with the counties, they indicated whatever we did, they would be needing to backfill. In other words, they'd have to be rearranging their budgets. But if they have $19 million worth of costs because they have to transport people who aren't on their meds and end up being in the custody of the sheriff or the police department, they're going to have to rearrange their budgets to do that as well. So I think the counties felt the amount we have in the bill is appropriate, and we've taken the money the way they've asked us to do it.
Senator Sedgum.
And Mr. President and Senator Berglund and members, I think what I've just kind of pointed out, and Senator Berglund has done a nice job of trying to answer, but I would like to hear from my counties as well in terms of the effect of this bill on them and what they think about it. And I think it just points out one more reason to re-refer and support Senator Ortman's motion on the real re-referral process. So again, I encourage members to support this motion. It's an important one. I think we have some time on our side. We can do this, and we ought to do it.
On the Ortman motion to re-refer, Secretary will take the roll. Senate's under call.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I move
Senator
those.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. We're back on the Berglund Amendment. Senator Berglund, did you have an amendment to the amendment? Oh.
Yes, I do.
I forgot to announce the vote. There being 21 yeas and 38 nays, the motion does not prevail. Senator Berglund.
So I have an A21 amendment, which is an amendment to the amendment.
Secretary will report the Berglund A21 amendment.
Senator Berglund moves to amend the Berglund amendment to Senate File 2168 as follows. Page 1, line 36, delete, etc.
You got it. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, this just makes one more correction to the appropriations section of the A16 amendment.
Mr. President.
We're waiting for the
Mr.
Amendment
President,
to
the amendment
to
is
come up.
Page 1, line 36, delete $164,939,000 and insert $167,071,000.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, I would ask if Senator Berglund would explain the impact. I'm trying to engross the engrossed version now and try and figure out exactly what this means, but it looks like a pretty big change to me, $3 million. I wonder if the bill was balanced before. I don't know. It seems like we're making it up as we go here. If I hadn't made the previous motion, we had a long debate. Would we have made this fix? I don't know. So if we could get an explanation, I would appreciate it.
Senator Berglund, explanation on the numbers.
Mr.
The
President and members, this deals with the DISH program that I spoke to earlier and conforms to the explanation I made earlier.
You want to hear it again? All right. We're on the amendment. To the amendment. All those in favor signify by Senator.
Mr. President, could we have a further explanation of what this does? Maybe she did it before, and I don't understand how it impacts, but we do have folks that are watching this debate that are trying to follow what is happening at the state capitol. I'm trying to follow. I know I'm doing as well as I can. There are probably folks at home that have no clue what we're doing right now. So if Senator Berglund would be so kind to repeat it, if she did it before, I apologize for the request, but I would like to try and understand what this amendment does.
Senator Berglund, would you explain the amendment again?
Mr. President and Senator Ortman, it incorporates into one of the totals in the bill the change that I described earlier that we would be making in the split between the DISH money that goes to the hospitals and the DISH money that we would keep at the state level.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I'm a little bit confused, as is Senator Ortman, Senator Berglund. The $164,900,000, where did that number come from? And you're now saying that we should replace it with $167,000,000. Was the calculation done incorrectly in the original bill, the 164, or was there a substantial change in the policy underlying the dollars that led to the change in the dollars?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Hahn, this is just correcting the original amendment. There was one number that was overlooked in terms of being changed by the staff.
On the amendment to the amendment, all those favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now we're on the amendment as amended. Any further discussion? Senator Hand, then we're going to vote.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move that we refer this bill to the Health, Housing, and Family Security Policy Committee. This is a committee that I serve on and deals with policy issues in health care. I don't believe this bill and this amendment was brought to that committee. I believe that there are significant policy issues that ought to be heard. And so I ask that we re-refer this to Senator Marty's committee for some further discussion on the policy implications. In particular, frankly, I'd like to understand better what the difference between the current law with involving the transfer of GAMC folks into Minnesota Care and how that may impact what we're doing. I think that's a significant policy shift that would bear on this issue, and I think it needs to be fully understood before we adopt this bill, even as it is amended. So, Mr. President, I would move that we refer this bill.
On the motion by Senator Hand to refer the bill to the Health and Housing and Family Security Committee, all those in favor signify by saying aye. There will be a roll call. Secretary will... Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I would oppose this motion. Senator Marty indicated to me that he did not feel the bill needed to be heard in the first place in his policy committee. There were joint hearings in the interim, so I would oppose this motion.
Secretary, will
Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm just wondering, is Senator Marty here that he could respond to the request? I have not talked to him about this, frankly.
Senator Berglund has indicated she has talked to him, and I think that should be good enough for us.
Mr. President, is Senator Marty excused today from the debate?
No, but not that I'm aware of. But
Mr. President, we're under call, and since this is referred to his committee, I think it would be good to have his view on this.
I guess that's fair, but... Senator Berglund has indicated she's talked to him, but if that's not good enough, you want to...
Mr. President, we are under call on the duration of this debate. If Senator Marty has not been excused, then he ought to be here, I would think. And this is an important issue that I think bears on health policy. I think he's the chairman of the committee. I'm asking it to be referred to his committee. If he doesn't want it to go there, I think he ought to come and explain to us why not. I think that's fair, and if he's available, if he's been excused, I can understand that. But if he's not been excused, I think you ought to come.
Senator Pogermiller. Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, point of order.
We're in the middle of a roll call, Senator. Senate's under call.
Mr. President?
Senator Sinjim?
President, maybe as we vote, could you or the Secretary give us an opinion? There's questions about whether or not when we're under call, you need to physically be in the room, certainly in the proximity room, or whether it's only when you vote. Is there a clarification on that?
I why don't we talk about that after the roll call? We're not discussing bills during the or procedures during the roll call. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will announce the vote. I will announce the vote. 41 nays. The motion does not prevail. Senator Hand.
Mr. President, I tried to raise a point of order. I am concerned about this. To me, this is an indication of the desire of the majority to pass something through this body quickly without following normal procedure. We do have rules. Those rules say that when we're under call, we as senators are to be here unless we have been excused. I did make a motion to refer this to Senator Marty's committee. I think it is appropriate that he come and explain why he doesn't want it in his committee, if that is indeed the case. I appreciate Senator Berglund speaking on his behalf, but he's a member of the Senate, and he should be here if we're under call. This is an important bill that deals with health policy, and I am not certain why he should be allowed to not be here, not respond to a legitimate question, and not be required to vote. And so that's a point of order I'm raising, Mr. President. I'd like a ruling on whether you think that is compliant with the order of the Senate.
What do we get, Senator Marty?
Mr. President, I did vote on that, Mr. President. Senator Hand, we had two hearings. I think the first one was 2.5 hours or so on this. And we had another one that struck me as being at least 2 hours as well, but I don't know. It seemed like about 5 hours. They were joint hearings with Senator Berglund's division that I chaired. And at the second of those two, I don't remember if you were there or not, but I did mention to the committee members that we were, that my sense was that we had had the chance to air this, and there were a number that the main things in here were budget issues, and I thought that was more appropriately dealt with in her committee. And unless I was hearing somebody saying otherwise that they felt we needed to hear it here, I thought 5 hours was enough hearings on it, actually. And that if we had any concerns, we ought to address them to the budget division people. And if members of the committee really wanted to have more time on it, I would have been glad to do that at that time, because Senator Berglund certainly offered, and I said after 5 hours, I thought that was enough hearings for it because it was basically a budget bill. But so I hadn't heard from you earlier than this, so I'm sorry if I missed it. If you were sending me notes or something on that, I didn't get them. But no, I have some concerns about some of the budget items, but the policy stuff, I thought we had a good 5-6 hours of hearing on it.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Marty. No, I have not been sending you notes on this. I apologize if that was, maybe I should have done that. I did not send you any notes on this. I am, however, concerned about a couple of things. One is whatever the effect the amendment may have on the policy of the bill. I think that is a policy question. I don't know if we had hearings on that, but I'm also interested in understanding the relationship between what we're doing in this reform and what is being proposed to be done by the enrollment of people into Minnesota Care that are currently under GAMC. That seems to me to be a fairly significant issue that there is obviously disagreement on its effect. I've heard it described to me as being significant in its impact on the people who are currently being served in GAMC. There are others, obviously, who disagree with that. But did we have a full hearing on that policy choice in the committee? These must have been committees that took place in the interim, and I may have missed the opportunity to be there. But I think that's a legitimate point that I guess is bearing on this amendment that we have before us today. And so I don't believe, unless Senator Marty, you knew about this amendment before anybody else did, that we had an opportunity to hear the amendment in your committee, or whether you think it does have any bearing on the policy. But maybe you'd like to ask or respond to that.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the amendment, in my mind, dealt with the funding of it again and how we're going to fund this. I confess we didn't have hearings when the governor vetoed it or unallotted the program either. And to me, that was the devastating policy change, just eliminating a program for some of the sickest people in the state. His own commissioner said they were the sickest people in the state. We take away their health care. That's a policy issue, but I didn't have a hearing on that either. There was nothing we could do. He vetoed it. He unallotted it. And we're trying to put something together here. And the change that Senator Berglund has come to after discussing with, taking a sense of what the governor is doing, because I don't know if she's been able to meet with him, actually, but when she decided to offer this amendment because of it, it struck me as a budget issue, and that's not my committee's jurisdiction. I'm very concerned about the whole issue, but it's not a policy issue.
Hey, we're on the A16 amendment. Secretary, we'll take the Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. First off, I'd like to commend Senator Berglund and her team for the amount of work that they've put in this project. I mean, she, as you all know, I mean, nobody has worked harder on this issue, and she understands the issue very well, and she's committed to it. And I will never slight her for her her passion in this area and wanting to do the right thing. So thank you, Senator Berglund, for your hard work on that. And I do know that we need a stable, reliable plan. But I also believe that there is a stable, reliable plan already on the table, and that's the governor's plan. And that I feel that we should be able to combine the two if possible. Senator Berglund, I'm just not sure if this is the fix that we need today. And I'm hoping that perhaps we can have further discussions about this in the next couple days so we can figure out how to make this plan work, how to bring everybody to the table. Obviously, we're trying to ram something through here that there's a lot of discomfort because people don't understand it. So it's looking very similar to what's happened on the federal side. And when we have passed outstanding legislation in this body, it's been because we've had all the players at the table. And let me remind you, members, the Minnesota Renewable Energy Standard, 25x25, it was passed because everyone, the environmentalists, the utilities, the ratepayers, were at that table. And they may not have been particularly crazy about what we did, but they all agreed upon it. And if they had a question, if they had problems, it was addressed at that time. So we were able to pass that with confidence. And Senator Berglund in 08, when the health care reform bill was passed, everybody was at that table. And that was an astounding, resounding bill that was passed. And thanks to you and everybody else. I mean, it was just amazing because we did it together. And this one, I have to say, Senator Berglund, when you receive this information at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I appreciate your communication skills. I mean, you have tried very hard, but I'm telling you what, there's just not this comfort level. And I would like to be able to walk out of this chamber and say, yes, I am for this. Because there's actually some things in here I do like, but I have a lot of questions. And I am speaking for myself and for my colleagues and for my constituents. So let's bring the providers back in. Let's bring in the primary doctors. Let's talk about rebasing again. We just need a greater comfort level.
Back up, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, there are subtle similarities to this morning and now this afternoon, I guess, and to May 18th. And I would hope nothing like that would have ever happened again, and I suggest it hasn't, but it kind of feels like it. Just kind of feels like we came to work this morning and the railroad was running. The railroad's ready to run over the minority, and I know that that's not perhaps intended, but as we get into this session, as we think about where we're going and how we do it, I don't think this really casts a good shadow on the way that we ought to be running our state Senate. Senator Berglund's worked hard. We will give Senator Berglund all the credit in the world for her passion and understanding of this. The problem, quite frankly, is that she is so far out ahead of most of us in this area in terms of knowledge that we need to catch up with her. And we can't do that between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock and even noon. We needed a little more time, and that was rejected. Mr. President, all I'm saying is it simply doesn't cast, good light on what we ought to be doing as we move through the rest of this session. No fiscal notes, runs in terms of how it affects our counties, not a lot of information that all of us kind of tend to depend on as we're looking at making decisions about bills. So, again, I would urge the minority not to support this, frankly, unless they frankly understand it and are able to vote for it based on a good understanding of what's in this bill. But I suggest that for the most part, very few of us in this chamber understand what's in this bill. And we ought to be referring it back, and we ought to be spending more time on it. That's not going to be the case. Mr. President, members, I urge a no vote on this amendment.
Mr. President?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, this is a really simple vote. You vote for this amendment, you're taking out the parts of the bill that created winners and losers among hospitals. You vote for the amendment, that's what you're doing. You vote against it, you're voting to leave winners and losers in the bill. I would urge a yes vote.
Secretary will take the roll on the A16 amendment. Senate's under call. All senators having voted. Is there to vote? Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays. The amendment is adopted. Senator Hand. Wait, before that, to Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I have an A17 amendment. This is a small technical amendment to the bill.
Secretary will report the Berglund A-17 amendment.
Senator Berglund moves to amend Senate file number 2168 as follows. Page 20, line 27, delete makes and insert agrees to make enhanced. This is the A-17 amendment.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and members, this was language suggested by the Department of Human Services to the bill, and we omitted including the language in one place. So I'd like to include it now.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill. Secretary will give Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Berglund yield for a couple questions of clarity?
She will yield to a couple.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Berglund, just a couple questions. Obviously, I don't sit on the committee, and I've had this brought to me many different times throughout my 3 years as Senate in my district and getting calls and whatnot, but could you clarify to me whether the two questions here, whether to be able to qualify for GAMC or Minnesota Care, if you come from prison, if you come from prison and you're convicted of a felony, do you qualify for that? And my second question is, are there any requirements such as drug testing before they actually get the service from the state of Minnesota? And the reason I ask that is I've had a lot of people call and inquire about that, and when I listen to them, I listen intently, and I find out that, you know, there's some different parts of our function as a state where we have to be required to actually do drug testing to be able to do a function, for instance, driving large trucks and things like that. And some of the calls that I've had is that, you know, I don't mind out there being out there working for folks and paying my share, so long as I know that those that are collecting those services are seriously in need, obviously, but they're also not under the influence of illicit drugs. So those are the two questions I have.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Ingebrigtsen, people are not drug tested as a requirement of enrolling in the programs. In fact, in the GMC program, many people are in need of drug rehabilitation. Because of their mental illness, they might be abusing substances to try to mask their symptoms. And when they show up at a medical provider, they are hoping to get assistance with their pain or their depression in a more appropriate way. The second part of the question is in regard to people who have been involved with our correction system. The program is not available to people while they're in jail or in prison, but when they get out, this is an important part of their discharge planning. Right now, our Department of Corrections does discharge planning for anyone who has a serious and persistent mental illness, and general assistance medical care is part of that discharge planning for them to be able to get appropriate medications for their mental illness when they leave the prison. And without those medications, they're not likely to succeed in their probation and their reentry into society. So it's an important program for prisoners, either jail or state prisoners, to be reintegrated into society. But there is no requirement that if you've committed a felony, you wouldn't be able to get services through the program, because the program, for some people, is intended as a way not to commit another felony.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Berglund, for that. I guess my question would be just a follow-up with that. Again, not being around that long and not on the committee, has this ever been asked about in committee? Has it ever been tried before, where there be some minimal requirements, for instance, drug testing, or somebody coming out of the state system that has been convicted of a more serious felony, not a what we would call a lower, if you will, felon? Has that ever been talked about or tried? Or because I think everybody in this body probably can understand the concerns of citizens out there wanting to know that they're okay paying for services so long as those that are using it are at least law-abiding citizens and are going to make a go of it. And I understand going back into the system, you have to have health care. You have to be, you have to help get up on your feet. But it just sits wrong with a lot of the folks, and I'm just wondering if it's ever been asked or ever been tried or how that's been in the past.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Ingebrigtsen, no, it's been discussed in regard to income maintenance programs, but never in regard to health care programs.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, on that briefly, about two-thirds or more of the people in our prisons have serious persistent mental illness and or chemical dependency, often both of them. And I think one of the reasons they're in prison is because they've had untreated mental health and chemical dependency problems. And if we want a truly safer society, we ought to recognize the importance of treating those illnesses. And instead of trying to find ways to punish people, maybe find ways to stop them from committing crimes in the first place. And that's what we have to do. And the whole concept, if you talk to anybody who works in rehabilitation of ex-offenders, they will tell you the most important thing to do is that get them stabilized on their mental health medications, getting people with chemical dependency problems into treatment. Because if you look at what percentage of the crimes are committed under the influence of something, domestic violence, murders, something like 9 out of 10 of them, the offender was under the influence of alcohol or some drug at the time. To me, rather than say, well, let's wait till they murder somebody and then lock them up, seems to me a lot smarter to treat them. And so I would say the premise of the question should be changed to, how are we going to prevent crime in the first place? And somebody who's coming out of prison, how are we going to get them back into society in a safe way rather than a way that's going to make them reoffend at the great pain and suffering of lots of people?
Further discussion. The secretary will give the bill. Sometimes I see people and I don't. Senator Perry.
We are still under call, correct, Mr.
That's
President?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, as a freshman senator, I'm somewhat appalled at what's been happening this afternoon. And I'm sure my constituents watching today in Senate District 26 are just as appalled. Under Senate rules of the Senate, under call, upon the imposition of a call, a member may request a record of those present, and the sergeant of arms shall bring in the absent members. Section 38.3. When the Senate has been placed under call, a member may demand that the doors be closed and that no member be permitted to leave the chamber until the matter or question, if any, under consideration at the time of the call is disposed of. Mr. President, I'm demanding the members. This is an important issue, and I've looked around here since we've started, and there are members of the majority that have yet to step in here during this discussion. It's a travesty to my citizens that I represent, and I demand that we follow the rules of the Senate immediately.
Yeah, you can demand that. I from up here, Senator, it's not just Democrats that are the majority that are not here all the time, okay? I could see pretty well from here.
Mr. President, I understand you can see well from there, but I believe we should be following the rules of this Senate. Our citizens demand it.
You can demand it now, and yes, we will do that. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Berglund, in the event that your bill passes and it would become law, I believe it does affect some of the service grants to our counties. Some of them might be the Children and Community Protection Service grants that are reduced under this bill. I don't know if your amendments restored any of that reduction, but if they have not, is there a plan to compensate counties for the loss of this money on these programs like Children and Community Protection Services?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Limmer, I know the counties would prefer to lose their local government aid. I'm willing to author a bill with anyone else in the Senate who would like to swap this out for a local government aid cut later. Right now, because of the need to pass this bill and have it in law before February 28th, we're just not able to take the bill through all it would take to get there. But I might just say that, you know, the governor unallotted county aid in the block grant area alone by $164 million. So this old $19 million isn't much compared to what they've already had unallotted by your governor.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Berglund, if these programs are cut further, then both parties are guilty of piling on at the expense of our counties. And I was just wondering if you might know, because after all, it's your bill, have the counties given you any indication of how they'll fill in this gap for some of these programs like Children and Community Protection Services? I mean, that's a pretty important area for the county to fund. Are you aware of how some of these counties are going to handle that shortfall now?
Well, Mr. President and Senator Limmer, I did discuss this earlier, but I'm happy to do it again. The counties admit to us in our discussions that they believe they would have $19 million worth of costs if the GMC program ends. They have said they would prefer to have that contribution made by a reduction in the funds we give them. So that's what we've done in the bill. They have said themselves, whether it's local government aid or whether it's a block grant reduction they take, they will have to backfill it. They will backfill it by rearranging the existing budgets they have. So we I think all we're doing here is substituting one. We're restoring a program without which the counties would have severe problems. And we're giving them the money back in another way, in a way that they will then not have all of those problems.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Berglund. I know that these are difficult times when we have to reassess what is our priorities. And GAMC programs are a vital program, just like I think Children and Community Protection Services are. I suppose the other avenue that a county could go, and I don't know if you've talked to every county, all 87 of them, or an association representing them, but the other alternative that any county policymaker would have to consider is whether they're going to raise property taxes as a result of the money not in programs like Children and Community Protection Services due to the consequence of this bill passing.
Okay. Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Limmer, this is a temporary cut. This is a temporary program that we're restoring. So, you know, they couldn't levy until next October anyway, and then they'd only have 6 months left to levy for. So I don't think the idea that a property tax increase is going to be a result of this bill is necessarily a founded worry. I do know that there are counties that have already raised property taxes because of the loss of GAMC.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Berglund, you and I both reside in the same county. I haven't heard any word from our county. Have you heard of any word from our county that you could share? I think maybe at least a quarter of our members represent that county. And I just don't know. I haven't heard from them or their government liaison representative that they spend taxpayer dollars for to tell us what they're thinking.
Mr. President and Senator Limmer, they support the bill. If you look at the chart here, there'd be huge loss to Hennepin County with the GMC program going away. And since they do run a county safety net hospital, they would be responsible for a lot of those losses. And while I'm talking about losses here, members, I might just add, these are the losses under the old program. With no program, you're going to have many, many more people showing up in an emergency room, otherwise who might have showed up in an outpatient clinic setting. So this bill is really about trying to keep our infrastructure from coming unraveled. Many community-based mental health programs are at risk because the people they serve are on GAMC and they're getting their medications. And without their medications, they're not going to be able to stay in the group home they're living in, or they're not going to be able to stay in the other programs that are providing them with support, because they won't be able to be functioning enough to be in the programs or in the housing. So we're talking about jobs. The Minnesota Hospital Association said on the hospital side alone, the loss of GMC would mean 7,000 jobs in our state. Now, I'm not able to restore all the money, so, you know, I grant you there still would probably be some job losses, but clearly the vast majority of those 7,000 jobs will be retained under this bill. And then last but not least, there are the lives of the people in Minnesota who are at stake, be they a veteran who cannot get VA to take care of their health care problem because it's not deemed service-related, or because they were in the Guard and not in the enlisted service, be it a construction worker who lost their job, lost their health care. Maybe they've lost their home in this recession we're facing, and they have health care problems, health care needs that need to be met, even though they're living on $203 a month, in order for them to get their lives put back together at some point in time. This bill is about jobs. It's about the future of our hospital services. It's about the infrastructure of our mental health delivery system. And it's about the lives of 85,000 people, some of whom, without this program, will die. So I urge you to vote for the bill today. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Han, Senator Ingebrigtsen, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I want to pursue, we had some questioning earlier about the relationship between this bill and the general budget issue that we face, and I'd like to ask Senator Berglund, if you would, to help at least me understand better what we're doing here and how this may affect the budget. I am personally uncomfortable in adopting this bill without some sense of how we're going to solve the budget. We are going to spend a lot of money to restore the funding to GAMC. And again, I think we all recognize that there is a problem in just saying we're going to eliminate GAMC. My understanding of one of the reasons why that was done was to bring some focus to the fact that GAMC as a program doesn't work as well as it should, is a very high cost, is growing very rapidly in terms of expense and number of folks being served, and there has to be a better way to do this. I'm not clear that this does those things. It does restore some funding, but the money is coming from the budget. And my question is, how does this not hurt our overall budget picture when we're going to have to take up resolving this $1.2 billion or whatever the exact number is, shortfall that we are facing? How does this impact that, and why wouldn't we be better served to solve this in the context of the entire shortfall, rather than saying, well, let's do this now, let's spend some money here to do this? Doesn't this put additional pressure on our total budget picture and how we're going to solve that?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Han, no, it actually has a small savings to the general fund. Bill has a small savings to the general fund. The bill will restore a GAMC program for the next 16 months for 85,000 people, and it will leave Minnesota Care program without being bankrupted, which the governor's auto enrollment of 28,000 people into Minnesota Care bankrupts the Health Care Access Fund and would mean thousands of people in that program would have to lose their coverage as well.
Mr. President, thank you, and thank you, Senator Berglund. So the money that we're spending here is coming out of the Health Care Access Fund. Is that essentially, you're saying it's not affecting our budget? I'm unclear how we can spend the money and not have it affect the budget. It's got to come from somewhere. I'm trying to get clear where it's coming from and why that doesn't affect our overall budget.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Han, we've made a number of reductions in the bill that are helping to pay for the program. We are not taking money out of the Health Care Access Fund to pay for this program. In fact, that's what the governor's doing. So we leave the Health Care Access Fund in good shape for the biennium. We give the hospitals a program they can count on and they can budget into the future. We give the 85,000 people that otherwise would be served over the next 16 months on Minnesota Care the knowledge that they can go into a doctor's office, they don't have to rely on an emergency room, the knowledge that when they need their prescription drugs, they'll be there for them. And I don't know what more I can say to convince you. We have had a lot of hearings and a lot of work, and we have asked stakeholders to come and sit around a table with us. And that includes the Department of Human Services and the administration. The only people in the administration who took us up on it was the mental health division. And we worked hard with them to reform the mental health delivery system in this bill for people on GAMC and others so that we will have a savings, a reduction in mental health hospitalizations under this bill. The rest did not want to work with us on this. They wanted to wait and see what we came up with. Well, now's the day we've come up with it. Here it is. And we have to make a decision to move forward, and I believe the right decision is to say yes to this proposal.
Mr. President.
Hey, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Berglund, I apologize. Maybe I'm just dense on this and I'm not getting it. The governor vetoed the provision to fund GAMC as an effort to balance the budget. And now we're going to restore funding, at least to some degree, to GAMC. That would seem to me to put our budget into further debt, unless it's coming from somewhere outside of the general fund. And I'm just trying to understand how that works, that when we had to, or the governor felt he had to zero the program entirely to get the budget to balance, now we've gotten even a further deficit to make up, and now we're restoring funds to the GAMC, and how that doesn't add additional pressure to the budget, I'm not seeing that clearly. Is there? And again, maybe I just am not, maybe I should be in your division and maybe I could understand it more clearly. But I'm not seeing how that works, that we can spend this money and not have it affect the budget.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Hunt, I even have handed out now for you the DHS fiscal summary with the amendments today that were offered to the bill. And we still have some savings to the general fund in this bill. I've gone through all the ways we've gotten the funding together. I've told you that we're cutting reimbursement somewhat. We've cut a few people out of the program who were in the program previously. And so we've come up with a smaller program that doesn't cost as much as what the governor vetoed. And we have paid for it. We have paid for it, and we've left some money on the bottom line.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, Vandiver, and maybe a vote. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. And once again, I'm reminded of how passionate Senator Berglund is about the work that she does here for the state and for her county. She talked passionately about veterans and the despondent that sincerely do need help, and also the severely mental folks out there that are dealing with issues like that. And you know, frankly, we should be, and I don't think there's anybody in this body that would say, no, we should not help those people. But I still am very concerned about another area, and I think people in this body would have to agree with me that there is some areas that we're, and especially when we're out of money. We just talked about cuts, Senator Berglund. You just talked about all the cuts that are being made. We all remember the Drew Shadeen case some years ago where Alfonso Rodriguez was released out of prison and reoffended and actually did this heinous crime to Drew Shadeen, who comes from northwestern Minnesota, actually somewhat closer to me than some in this room. Actually, I used to know the family quite well, grew up playing ball with the uncles of Drew Shadeen, so it was a little closer to me. But folks, right now in Minnesota, what, according to state law, that if another Alfonso Rodriguez gets out after 12 years, 12 and a half years of being incarcerated for criminal sexual conduct, having the best of health care, having educational opportunities in prison, and once they hit the street, they also now know, at least under current law, that, well, health insurance is not going to be a problem because all I have to do is go in and qualify or go in and apply. Obviously, that's going to happen, and it has happened many times. The general public is not liking that. They're not, in fact, they'd be flabbergasted if they knew that was going on. So I just have to, at this time, I have to offer an amendment. It is the, help me out here, A18 amendment.
Secretary will report the Ingebrigtsen A18 amendment.
Senator Ingebrigtsen moves to amend Senate File Number 2168 as follows: page 29, line 26, delete or etc. This is the A18 amendment.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. You really have to sit back and dig down hard on this, and I think you have to put yourself out in your constituents and telling them the trials and tribulations of what's starting out to be probably one of the most challenging sessions, for sure the most challenging session for myself, and I'm sure some of the more senior members in here will tell you the same. And we're going to be cutting and looking for dollars all over the place. And folks, I would hope that you would vote for this. And what it basically says is that anybody that has been adjudicated or convicted of a criminal sexual predator conduct under Section 609, which is the 609-3453, which is considered the Drew Shadeen Law, when they actually put their time in and are released, that they will not qualify. They will not qualify for the same care of those that in Minnesota that we should be taking care of. So I really sincerely ask your support on this amendment.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm sure that your amendment is offered in the spirit of wanting to be not to be rewarding sex offenders and that type of public sentiment. And it's certainly very important to me. You mentioned Drew Shadeen. Drew Shadeen and her family actually come from north central Minnesota, from the Pequot Lakes area in my district. But whatever the intention behind your amendment, and I'm speaking on the fly here as an attorney, so I'm sure that we could get a better opinion if we had more time to think through all the constitutional ramifications of this, but it immediately strikes me as something that would be probably considered unconstitutional, because you are taking and the intent, just based in how you described it, would be to penalize people because of their bad behavior after they have finished and completed their criminal sentence. And if we were to do that, to single them out for a punishment-related type of avenue or policy, we would probably further push that envelope that I was talking about yesterday and put at risk the possibility that all of our sex offenders could be suddenly released, which would be a horrible thing to have happen for people who have finished their sentence and are being held and civilly committed. That would not be the result I'm sure that you're looking for. But then as a practical matter, I would also say this. As Senator Berglund has explained over and over, a very large majority of people who are on JAMC are suffering from mental health-related issues. These are the people, once they get out of prison, that we want to make sure are getting their medications so that they don't do something that might have been prevented through their medication and access to health care. And so the idea that we're somehow going to punish them, well, I can certainly understand why you might want to do that and feel that way. As a practical matter, both for health reasons and for legal reasons, I think this would be a very bad idea.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Olson, thank you for that. No, my intention is not to punish the perpetrator. Actually, it's my intent is to not punish the taxpaying public in the state of Minnesota for having to. Two reasons. For number one is for a crime to be perpetrated against the state of Minnesota, number one. And number two, for having them to have to actually pay extra when that person does their time. That's what it is. It's all about the public. It's not about the perpetrator. I don't think we're talking about a lot of folks here. We're not talking about big numbers. But the bottom line is that the public is the one that's being punished here, and that punishment continues to go on. And I just think it's unjust and unfair. And Madam Chair, I would ask for a roll call.
There will be a roll call. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we are dealing with a very small group of people, but they are a very dangerous group of people. And so for that reason, we cannot afford to create a situation that might make it more likely that they would be released without supervision, as I said before, or that they might go without medication that they need that might prevent them from being as dangerous as they would otherwise be.
Senator Berglund.
Madam President and members, I would urge you to vote against this amendment. This is a 16-month temporary program. I don't believe this could even be implemented before the 16 months is over in DHS. I mean, they can't even, they will not even be able to implement the portion of the bill that deals with criminal hold orders being hospitalized until next November. So I doubt they'd be able to implement this. This would be very administratively difficult to work into this program. So please vote no.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A18 amendment. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 23 yeas and 42 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Senator Vandeveer?
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Berglund yield?
Senator Berglund will yield.
Thank you. Senator Berglund, I'm just trying to make sure I understand the fiscal implications of this. And you made it sound like the state was actually making money on it. And I want to make sure I have the right fiscal note here, or the preliminary. And I'm looking at the fiscal summary, SF-2168, first engrossment with A-16 amendment. Is this the right sheet I should be looking at?
Senator Berglund.
Madam President and Senator Vandeveer, yes. And so if you go down to Net Fiscal Impact General Fund, line 61, you'll see a $1.6 million savings.
Mm-hmm. Well, Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. Madam President, I'm looking at a line that says total impact, and I'm seeing all these negative brackets, and for 2010 it shows under total impact a negative $88,915,000. And that doesn't look like we're making money on this. And I think in light of the fact that we're also shifting probably $100 million worth of medical care onto existing insurance policy holders when they actually go to get services by cutting the reimbursement rate, this actually doesn't appear to me to be solving the problem. I mean, we can argue that the doing nothing shifts also, but it doesn't spend another $89 million at a time when we really haven't balanced the budget. We haven't done, I mean, should we on the first or second week of session really be spending $90 million without looking at the big picture? Or what I'm afraid of is we're going to end up doing what happened last time and the legislature basically abdicating its ability to influence the budget outcome because the leadership is steadfastly refusing to, one, look at the big picture, and number two, to actually deal with the problem of the deficit. And so I think it's really too early to pass this bill. It should be done in light of, you know, the entire budget agreement. And picking this out at this time to do, it's just, one, it's not well thought out. Most of us don't completely understand it. And number two, you're spending $90 million without resolving the rest of the fiscal problem. So I don't see any reason to vote for this, especially to vote for it on a rush basis like this.
Senator Berglund.
Madam President and Senator Vanderveer, if you could please listen to me carefully. What the bottom line says, total impact on all funds, those numbers in parentheses are savings. So the all funds savings for fiscal year 2010 and 11 is $96,533 in savings. So if you vote against this bill today, you're voting against saving money for the state of Minnesota.
So any further discussion on Senate File 2168? Senator Perry.
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering if there's any chance we can have this engrossed before we vote on it, because it's just a little difficult to understand an amendment that makes 30-some deletions, 17 insertions in this 50-page bill. So any chance that happening?
Senator Perry, no, I don't believe.
Madam Chair, could I follow up real quick?
Senator Perry, when you're here longer, you'll know that this is not an unusual circumstance.
I was just going to ask why it couldn't be done, being we have so many fancy machines and people are working behind the scenes, and it would be a real easy thing to do, so we would have it all in one form.
Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the Secretary will give... I'm sorry? Senator Fischbach, sorry.
Madam President, I just wanted to kind of... I don't have a question at this point, but I do just want to say I'm disappointed that we did not re-refer this bill to one of the committees. We made changes. The original bill, the 2168... as it originally started out, I mean, it was amended through the committee process, but it did, at least I know of three committees that it went through, and it was looked at and talked about and discussed, and then just before it came to the floor, it was changed significantly, and we can have a discussion about whether or not that was, these things have been seen before, they haven't been seen before, but healthcare is a very, very difficult subject to always understand, and for those folks and how the state deals with it. And those folks that don't sit on the health committee, you know, need to have time to take a look at these things and understand what's going on, what the impact is for the state of Minnesota, what the people of Minnesota, and what the impact is going to be in their districts and on the hospitals. There's so many things that we need to deal with in these kinds of bills. And so again, I want to say I'm so disappointed that we didn't re-refer this for at least one more committee hearing. Just send it back to finance. Give us a couple of hours to look through it, really understand what's going on, because I'm sure there's about 100 more questions that I could probably come up with after we had some time to discuss it and really look at it and understand. I mean, the underlying bill, the original bill, I mean, it took a very long time for me to understand and really understand the interactions and how things were going. So I would urge a no vote on this bill as amended, because we just haven't had the time to understand what's happening with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Secretary will give the bill the third reading.
Senate file number 2168, a bill for an act relating to health care, establishing mental health urgent care and consultation services, modifying the General Assistance Medical Care Program, appropriating money.
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, very briefly wanted to let Senator Limmer know that I am planning to introduce a bill that Senator Berglund has indicated interest in supporting as well, to swap out those cuts in the children's community services budget, because I think those kids are extremely vulnerable, and I think that Senator Berglund's trying to deal with the Hobson's choice of, she's been given a problem where we're cutting off health care for a lot of people, and it's an attempt without new revenue to save it, and I think we've got to try and fix some of those side problems as well. But I will be introducing a bill if Senator Limmer is interested. He'd be glad to work with you on that.
Any further discussion? Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, I urge that we would vote no on this bill in final passage. I do not understand, again, why we are doing this today with as many questions as there may be on this. It is not clear to me, and I've been, Senator Berglund, I've been trying to follow the discussion here and learn this, but we're raising $300 million of revenue from sources, that many of which are transfers from general funds. It is unclear to me how this can be done without putting additional pressure on the budget that we have not yet come to grips with. And it seems to me to be intemperate for us to say, well, let's do this and just trust that it's all going to work out, and then sometime next week or the week after, we're going to take up and try to solve the whole budget. This has got to me to be a part of a general, the solution to the whole budget problem. I believe that this is going to make our ability to manage the whole budget question more difficult. I also believe that we ought to understand better the alternative that the governor has proposed. I frankly have heard somewhat about it. I think that there's sense to it. I think that it may make a lot of sense. I don't think we've had a full hearing on that, a full opportunity to discuss that. I think that we ought to look at real reform of this GAMC program rather than just taking a temporary fix, putting some money out there, perhaps with the hope that there's going to be some federal solution that will save us a couple of years down the road. I don't believe that we ought to do that. And so, members, there's no pressure that I can see for us to pass this bill today, unless there's some political considerations that may be beyond my understanding. But there's no reason that I can find for us to pass this today. And I think it would be prudent for us to not do this until we understand more completely how this fits in the context of our whole budget, and until we get an opportunity to see what the alternatives are to solving this problem, rather than being forced with one that has been substantially amended on the floor today, that I think many of us have very little understanding of and probably could not explain to our constituents at home. And so I urge us to vote no, not because we are against reform for GAMC, not because we don't understand there is a problem. We all understand that. But this is not the solution, and this is not the way or the time to do it. So I urge a no vote.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President, members, and Senator Berglund. I've sat here and honestly tried to understand what this all does and where the money comes from, because if we're saving $96 million or whatever this run shows us, it still had to come from somewhere. And understanding these fund transfers, it just occurs to me that we've just done one more disservice to the citizens of Minnesota. We've got some smoke and mirrors going on here that comes back to haunt us again in the future. So we're pushing something else out there, creating a fix, if you will, that doesn't last. We don't structurally fit anything. It comes back to haunt us, and it comes back to haunt us in a worse way, because we're emptying out another fund that won't be there tomorrow and putting more and more stress on our providers. So, members, please vote no.
Further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on final passage. Senate's under call. Metzen votes aye. Senator Pogermiller. That does it.
Mr. President, I'd move that those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will close the roll. Being 45 ayes and 20 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Remaining under motions, Senator Rest, did you have a re-referral? Or, yes.
Mr. President, I move that Senate file 2267 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight and be referred to the Committee on Judiciary. State and local government does not have jurisdiction over the definition of firefighters' licenses.
Okay, on the rest motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Betzel.
Yeah. Mr. President, Senator Marty said that he could not make it back to the chamber. He asked me to move on his behalf that Senate File 118 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight and referred to the Committee on Judiciary. He explained to me. No. I'll yield to Senator Marty to explain his own motion.
Senator Mr. President, sorry about that. The motion, the bill was referred to state and local, and we've got amendments in judiciary, and it was okay with both chairs, and author prefer it that way, and we're hearing it in judiciary.
Okay. On the Marty motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just need to let the members know that the Parks and Trails Committee will meet after we adjourn. Not yet. Not announcements yet. Sorry.
Okay, that's under announcements, but there's a introduction and first reading.
President, I move that we revert. Mr. President, I move that we revert to the order of business of introductions.
On the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Senator Phoebe introduces Senate file number 2570. A bill for an act relating to the military, appropriating money for payments to certain current and former Army National Guard members to satisfy federal obligations to those members.
Will be referred to the Finance Committee without objection. Now we're under announcements of Senate interest. Senator Torres-Ray, did you wish to repeat your meeting notice?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just need to announce to let members know that the Parks and Trails Committee will meet after adjournment.
Okay. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Higher Education Budget Division will not meet today, but our agenda from Tuesday and from today will likely be carried over till next Tuesday. So we will not meet today.
Okay, Senator Carlson.
Mr. President and members, the Transportation Committee meeting for today has been canceled.
Senator Boniff.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is for the Early Childhood Caucus on behalf of Senator Michelle, Senator Clark, and myself, the caucus co-chairs. Over the last year, a group of Minnesota foundations have been meeting to develop an early child public policy agenda, and they've actually put together a business plan. And as you can see, this announcement is on your desk. This is the Blandin Foundation, the United Way, Grotto Foundation, McKnight, Minneapolis Foundation, Women's Foundation, Sheltering Arms, and Social Venture Partners. And they have really spent the past year putting together a comprehensive, what they're calling a business plan, for early childhood education. So the caucus is sponsoring a lunch next Tuesday. We'd love to have all of you join us. If you let us know ahead of time what you'd like, we'll make sure there's a box lunch for you. We'll let you know again on Monday to remind you, but wanted to bring it to your attention. Thank you.
Senator Sherrod.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a final reminder that today is Mankato Days, their first Mankato Days in the Capitol. I'm hoping between now, between 3 and 5, actually, you'll learn more about our community, which is the state's newest metropolitan statistical area. And if you see any folks wandering around in vests like this one, you'll know that they are here to talk with you about the Mankato area. And there is a reception following at 5:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in the atrium. And I'm hoping that's from 5:30 to 7:30. Both Senator Rosen and I would very much appreciate it if you could stop by, say hello, and talk with the number of people that have come to visit with you from the Mankato area. Thank you very much.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, February being Heart Healthy Month and Sunday being Valentine's Day, Suite 303 would recommend wearing red on Monday.
Without objection, Senator Bonoff will be excused today from 9 to 10:10. Senator Clark, 9:10 to 10:10. Murphy all day. Senator G. Olson from 9 to 9:20. Senator Ress from 12:05 to 12:40. Senator Kelash from 12 to 1. And Senator Dill from 1:35 to the end of the session. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, on Monday, we'll take up Senator Bonoff's bill on the early primary. So we'll be able to show some coordination. The governor mentioned that today in his address, so we'll take that up, and it seems to be a fairly popular piece of legislation. And I appreciate members being able to process two significant bills this week, and I know that's been a little difficult for the committees, but I think you should be able to have a pretty full week next week in the committees. Don't anticipate major pieces of legislation next week unless the Finance Committee can process something very quickly. So I thank members for doing that, and so we will come in Monday. I move that we adjourn till Monday, February 15th, 11 a.m.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.